Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
From the Associated Press, top of my X feed, Chiefs have two more calls go their way and another playoff win.
Here, this comes from the Associated Bob Fesco. 3:33 to go in the game. James Cook has been running wild. He didn't touch the ball on that entire drive. So I'll take your Associated Press and raise you an Associated Fesco and say, where was James Cook on that final drive for Buffalo, because he was getting 6.5 yards every time he touched the football against the Chiefs, which he only carried 13 times. And with 3:33 to go, a guy that was shredding the Chiefs defense when given the opportunity was a non-factor in the game. So that comes from the Associated Fesco on that one. Nice job coaching, Sean McDonough.
From the 816, please, I need to know the name of whoever says advantage Texans, because they already used to Mahomes. I got to show my friend. It's Emmanuel Acho.
Yeah, Emmanuel Acho. He says a lot of dumb stuff, so you may have to cycle through a lot of the dopiness that he said over the last couple of weeks.
From Emmanuel Acho, we go to a guy that he is Nacho's. He's ours, Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs insider, not insider, but contributor of SI.com. Brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. We lost the time of possession, lost turnover battle, won the coin toss, won the game. Briscoe, how we doing today?
I mean, I think Mac actually just summarized it very well, because I was sort of headbanging back here as you guys were bringing it back. The Chiefs never meant to brag, but they got them where they want them now. It was never their intention to brag, to steal it all away from Buffalo once again now. Those are a few slightly modified lyrics to the song Misery Business by Paramore, which we just heard as we were coming back from break. There's no need for misery in Kansas City. It once again resides in Buffalo. I feel great. I imagine you guys should feel great. I can't believe we lost the Associated Press in this battle. That one made me a little bit sad, because they're the Associated Press, but c'est la vie. Here we go. Another Super Bowl, three straight years. It's unfreaking believable.
And last night, I mean, you know, we had talked about it just before you jumped on. 3:33 to go. That's a legacy moment for Josh Allen. Yep. And he went down the toilet bowl like a turd.
And look, I mean, there was so much through this game. You can do this for Lamar Jackson. You can do this for Josh Allen. You've been able to do this in a few, very, very few, Patrick Mahomes losses over the course of his career. Josh Allen played some incredible football in that game. He also had a lot of turnover-worthy plays. He also put the ball on the ground. The entire Buffalo Bills team put the ball on the ground a lot and then recovered all of those. Obviously got the one that the Chiefs put on the ground as well. This is a game, I said this several times last week, the margin for error in this game was always going to be extraordinarily small, because both of these teams have been so good at not turning the ball over. The Chiefs do turn the ball over. The Bills almost turn the ball over, what, four different times? Mm-hmm. And still, here we are now talking about the Chiefs advancing, because in those finest of margins, they were a little bit better.
And if you can't get a yard, you probably don't deserve to be going to New Orleans for the Super Bowl. I mean, we're going to hear people complaining about spotting and officials and all that kind of low-hanging fruit for the next 13 days. Fact of the matter is, your big men couldn't outdo the Chiefs' big men and get a yard.
And they did it over and over and over again. Like, it was funny. I realized that during the Chiefs game, I almost tweeted during the Eagles game, like, why don't they just, like, everyone should run the tush push more often, because it just seems like it's unstoppable. And obviously the Bills have the quarterback to pull that off. And then the Chiefs found a way to stop it, specifically the way that Josh Allen likes to go to the left guard, other times trying to take it more straight ahead. Ultimately, and look, I feel like we get to do maybe a little bit less ref talk this week. Maybe I was just so exhausted by it last week that I have a little wishful thinking here. But the two calls that people are talking about the most are both ones that went to the booth. Like, this isn't like a random flag thrown by one of the judges, and you go, oh man, well, it's kind of ticky-tack, kind of touchy. It's a little pull on a hold here. Obviously, mm-hmm. refs miss and make stuff in real time all the time. But the two big ones we got long looks at. And yeah, they were close. They were coin flip type of calls. That happens constantly. There were like five of those in the Washington Philly game. Yep. So I am not very moved by any of the refereeing talk this week, even more so than most.
I haven't had room for referee talk in 15 years, Josh Briscoe, yep, doing this job, because it just doesn't come down to officials in any sport. It comes about executing. And I threw my tinfoil hat on there for a second when you talked about everybody should do the tush-push. It seems, you know, unstoppable. And then the Chiefs stopped it yesterday. How much do you think Jason Kelce's been here given the secrets on the tush-push from the defensive side of ways to stop the tush-push? I like your woo coming out of there, because you're like, oh, he may be onto something. Don't you think they've contacted Jason about, hey, you were successful running it, how do we stop this thing?
I mean, I hadn't thought about that. I'd be a fool to say that, like, the Kelce brothers had never discussed it, right? Like, I mean, I don't know if Jason Kelce ever, like, Taylor Swift style, got smuggled into the facilities in a big box to, like, you know, hide his identity, or maybe there's a little secret Zoom. But yeah, I mean, the future Hall of Fame brother of one of the future Hall of Famers on this team was sort of the primary architect of a lot of that. I kind of like that. And also, I mean, the Bills just don't have quite the same beef up front that Eagles offense line does, and for whatever reason Allen is not quite as good at it as Hurts is. It's still very, very hard to stop, but ultimately I think once Buffalo realized how hard of a game that was going to be, just the tush pushes and everything, I'm a little surprised we didn't see them try to do a few more wrinkles. And obviously Allen almost lost the one that he had to stretch up over the pile. It was a much more of a roller coaster tush push experience for Buffalo. I'll give Jason Kelce a little bit of credit. I'm totally good with that.
All right, good, we're in on that.
Talking to Josh Briscoe of SI.com, our Chiefs contributor here at 96.5 The Fan. Seems like a Briscoe type of topic. Underrated guys that we don't talk a lot about. Joe Tooney, man. That guy at left tackle, quiet on that left side, just continues to get it done. It's changed the entire offense, I believe. It's changed everything with 15. How special of a player is he?
Yeah, and so I'm gonna pick a negative moment to justify what you just said. So let me sound like a hater for 5 seconds. There was actually two out of three plays. I think it ended up being on a three and out late in the game. It was the eighth drive for the offense. It ended up in the Butker field goal there to make it 32-29. That drive on first and third down, Mike Caliendo got absolutely walked back into Patrick Mahomes' lap, and then on third down, Joe Tooney lost fast, like the type of fast that where a left tackle's loss can derail a play. And in that moment, oh man, I don't know if this is the start of something, or if this is just a couple of big plays from the Bills' defensive line, taking advantage of a guy out of position, one of the best left tackles in the history of the sport, in the history of the sport, honestly, and then a backup guard next to him now, because Tooney's obviously playing out of position. In that moment, I got a little bit nervous. It cut down a drive that had been moving, and it made me a little bit nervous for if they needed to score the rest of the way. Obviously, that ended up being the final points of the game, but if they needed to score the rest of the way, would they be able to? And then I realized, that's the first time I've written down Joe Tooney or Mike Caliendo's name in my notes this entire game, and that was, again, very late in it. The fact that he was able to be out there and be largely missable in a complimentary sense is pretty amazing. I said right before the game that if there was a single unit that I could have guaranteed, like, an elite performance from, it would have been the offensive line. I also thought, look, Ed Oliver's a very good player, and Trey Smith's had some issues with him in the past. Understandable. Two very good players going at it. You win some, you lose some. But ultimately, there was a lot of quick game, especially early. Patrick Mahomes was decisive, moving him and having him move around, often having him roll right away from Tooney and Caliendo's side. That is a calculated thing that the Chiefs were doing. They did it extremely successfully, and the offense looked the best it's looked all season, especially back on that first, whatever, 6 minutes or so of the game. So they deserve a ton of credit. The Chiefs coaching staff deserves a lot of credit for trying to make their lives a little bit easier, and I think it's really telling that the first time that I went, oh, yikes, here's the Tooney Caliendo thing that I was worried about, here's what the downside could have been, that happened extremely late in the game.
And Andy Reid, again, you know, just out-coaching Sean McDermott in this game to another AFC championship and to another Super Bowl run, in my opinion. I thought there were a lot of plays out there that Sean McDermott messed up in. We talked about the final, 3:33, chasing points, going for two for no apparent reason at certain points of time. Andy Reid out-coached Sean McDermott yesterday.
Yeah, I have no argument with that. I'm going to pivot it off to going back to mentioning the two-point conversion attempts and all of that, right? Mm-hmm. I understand how the Bills' math got screwy. I understand why they started doing that. But the reason they really started doing that, I'm going to give a whole bunch of credit to the Chiefs' defense. I know they gave up 29 points in this game. But the fact that the Bills were going for those two-point attempts and that they were continuing to try this tush-push, they thought they had some easy buttons. They said, hey, we have, in my opinion, they have the second-best quarterback in the world. And they have a good suite of skill position players, at least one really, really talented, really frustrating running back, and some pass catchers that can kind of do some role player stuff right now, right? Mm-hmm. The Bills said, we've got these guys, we've got this quarterback, so we're going to believe that in these situations, we're getting points. And time and time and time again, I know the final score will never make anyone remember this, but time and time and time again, the Chiefs defense stepped up just enough against the best quarterback they're going to see all season, the best quarterback they have seen all season, the best quarterback currently living, not playing for this football team that they get to defend for.
You think Josh Allen plays Mahomes ever again in the AFC Championship game?
I think I'm going to go ahead and get my tickets for next year. I think, yeah, I'm tired of not being there for it. And maybe if I reserve my seats now, maybe we'll get to see it again. It's crazy, man. I have to imagine that at some point you start to see the changing of the guard somewhere. I don't think it's going to be at the top with Mahomes, obviously. But I don't know who else it's going to be for a while. The Allen build and the entire Ravens structure. Lamar Jackson's still an excellent football player. I'm a little lower on the Bengals going forward, even though
I find myself
defending Joe Burrow to a lot of people. I'm worried about that defense long term. So I think we're watching the royalty of the AFC. I hope we get to see this game five or six more times.
All right. Well,
Josh Allen doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just saying, he might retire.
I'm not playing that game anymore.
Briscoe, what do you got coming up tonight?
We're going to talk to Jordan Foote, also of Chiefs on SI, about to dive back into the game, give it another watch through. I think it'll be just as fun, maybe more fun the second time, because I know mm-hmm. how it ends. And I'm gonna try to wax a little bit poetic about the most unbelievable, believable thing that's currently happening here in Kansas City.
Sounds like Rex Ryan will be tuned in. You said Foote and wax all in one sentence.
Yeah, huge.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
I do not get to hire the next Jets head coach. So that's Aaron Glenn's
job. I bet you'd do a better job. All right, well, we'll talk to you later. We'll talk to you next week live from New Orleans. Enjoy the show tonight. Enjoy this victory.
Enjoy New Orleans. Keep a little food diary for me. Let me know how the food goes.
Oh, I'll send you video, Daddy.
Hell yeah. Well, maybe just pictures.
Okay.
Little disappointed Rex Ryan didn't get that. I can't understand with all his good takes why the Jets just didn't. I'd like the Jets of all people. You'd think they hire another buffoon.
That was Josh Briscoe. He is the editor of the Chiefs on SI.com. Editor-in-chief on SI.com. Chiefs contributor here at 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. Boys, I'm running out of gas, but we got 45 minutes left to keep this show rolling. Championship game coverage is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. I might go home and just start going again. Who knows, right? Who cares?
Hair of the dog.
913-586-7965. Let's recap this game some more on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
So I'm going to give you a little bit of what I just went through. A lot of emotion. I walk out of the studio door. I told you I'm running out of steam, so I'm trying to get myself geared up. And in comes the energy drink that is John Grayson. If you miss John, he was on our show Friday at the Roundtable. He hosts a show from 10 to 2 at 98.1. Floor's yours, man. Diehard Buffalo fan.
I'm getting real sick of waiting until next year.
I'm
really getting sick of waiting until next year.
Oh, man. I mean, when you think about it from that standpoint, yeah, you do get sick of waiting for the next one to have the opportunity. But, I was telling you kind of jokingly, tongue-in-cheek, but, I mean, who's going to beat this guy? Who's going to beat Patrick Mahomes? I mean, Josh Allen was America's best hope to go out there and knock off Patrick Mahomes, and they couldn't get the job done. Maybe it's just not meant to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously it isn't because it didn't happen. But it was a frustrating game. It was a great game. It was a great game to watch from a fan standpoint, and we knew it would be. We knew it was going to be close. We knew it was going to be a one-possession game, and it was going to come down to who got it done, and Chiefs got it done. That's a hell of a ball team. I mean, my hat's off.
So what aggravates you the most? Not converting on fourth and inches?
No, converting on fourth and inches and being told that we didn't.
Well, But you know what? Even if you're told that you didn't, you can't let that bother you. You've got a channel. There's still 13 minutes to go in that game, and you had a lead.
So bad calls don't bother you?
No, I don't focus on the refs. I haven't. No, for 15 years, you call Josh Klingler right now. you want to get him on the phone. I have said for 15 years, I don't get bogged down in the refs. There are enough other things that happen during the course of a game.
But it's game-changing calls, though. And that's what
I was talking about. But you had the lead at the time.
They're game-changing calls. We had the lead at the time, and we got a fourth down taken away from us. So, yeah, I mean, if you've been a fan of this team as long as I have, you've seen that over and over and over again. When it comes to a call that changes the course of a game, they all go against us.
Yeah, but you can't let it. Like, these pros can't let these calls affect them the way that they do. You've got to be able to shed that. And but look, 33 to go at your own 30, the 2-minute warning, and three timeouts in your pocket, and you didn't do anything there. That's you. That's your fault, not mine.
Right. Oh, no doubt. We should have run the ball more on that drive.
Yeah.
Or you know, at all.
At all. Like, James Cook was tearing up the Chiefs, man.
Yeah.
Bob's good buddy Dan Orlovsky said on ESPN today that this is the most haunted franchise and maybe the most haunted player in the NFL's existence, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And the Bills.
I mean,
because what you're saying is not a Chiefs neglect. You're saying this is just every year, no matter what happens, at what situation,
there's
something that goes against Buffalo.
I mean, I don't know of a professional team that's lost.
You need a sheep on a mountain?
Do you know a shaman?
A lamb?
By any chance? Like, a little sage? And...
I saged Arrowhead, and we've won Super Bowls. I mean, so the sage does work. And I'm not kidding. Burn some in your studio today. Get out to Orchard Park and sage that place, because
I'm going to wait until I get home to burn some.
Yeah. Okay.
No doubt.
There's a lot of sage being burned at Arrowhead last night. I have they talk about the great smell of Arrowhead when you walk in with the meat. Yeah. It was a different smell. I have never smelled sage that bad at Arrowhead. Yep. And you're old enough to remember when you could smoke in the boys' room in high school and you'd walk in and there was a cloud and you wouldn't know who was in there.
Yep.
That was the Arrowhead men's room yesterday.
You had fins to the left and fins to the right. Everybody's bait.
Nobody knew what was going on now. There, but I tell you, you burn that sage, get that bad mojo out. But yeah, I mean, honest to God, John, like, you look around of franchises around professional sports, not just the NFL, to be 0-4 in the Super Bowl and 0-4 against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, that's 0-8 in the biggest moments.
Right. And I mean, different coaches, different teams, you know, it doesn't seem to matter.
Do you think the new stadium will help? And I'm being serious about that, like changing something like that.
I mean, maybe, and that's still 2 years off.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I don't know. Andy Reid is an unbelievable head coach.
Yeah.
He's an unbelievably talented head coach. And, I mean, they've got the players to get it done. And the crazy thing is, everything that we talked about on Friday, everything I said the Bills had to do to win, they did.
They did. Everything. Yeah. They even got a turnover and still lost the game. Because I thought whoever turned it over one time, they're done.
Yep.
They're cooked. And it didn't happen that way.
Yeah, and I said, we got to get James Cook running. The only thing that they didn't do, and this has been a problem with this particular team and with Sean McDermott's team, and I don't understand it, is they didn't get pressure on Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was rushing four guys, no pressure at all.
I don't understand why James Cook carried the ball 13 times yesterday. Like, that's malpractice.
Yeah, it should have been 20, 25, but...
I was listening to our sister station, WGR, in Buffalo last night driving home just to kind of hear, you know, what their perspective was on all this and if there was going to be melting down. Not as much as I thought there would be. Then I listened a little bit this morning, and one of the hosts had said that, look, he goes, I'm not saying this needs to happen, but Pegula's, the family that owns the Bills, have got to start evaluating whether or not Sean McDermott is the right guy for this job.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt, because somebody is. And Dorsey's sticking around. He made that announcement. He was up, I guess, for the coaching job in New Orleans.
Okay.
But he's sticking around to be the offensive coordinator again next year. If they do make a coaching
Joe
change,
Brady.
Obviously. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What'd I say?
Dorsey.
Oh, yeah.
Get that guy the hell out of here.
No, he's been
he got fired by Cleveland
that
this
guy
year.
Didn't even make a year in Buffalo, right?
Yeah, right. But, yeah, you see the scars run deep. I can't even forget his name. But, yeah, so, you know, you bring in a new head coach, maybe he brings a coordinator with him. But, I mean, Brady's done an unbelievable job, too. So it's just a matter of
Do you promote Joe Brady to head coach? Like, could this be one of these late, like, resigns by Sean McDermott, you know, where he just decides, I'm done, I step away, Joe Brady takes over? Like, I'm not advocating to fire Sean McDermott because there's not enough good coaches out there.
Right.
But eventually you have to start looking at the guy that's in charge and going, every year it's something like this.
But do you take a team where the offense is fine and the defense is weak and put an offensive coordinator in as head coach? I don't think so. I think you look for another defensive guy if they're going to get rid of McDermott, and I don't think they are.
No,
so you have the four Super Bowl losses. Does this one surpass any of the Super Bowl losses, or are those just too tough in general because of what they are?
I mean, the first one was really rough.
Right.
Not only because I was right there, but because it was
today's the anniversary of that too.
Is it really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks for reminding him, Bob. Guy just said I went through a miles of depression. Anniversary.
But yeah, I mean, and I went to the one the next year too. I went to 26 up in Minneapolis, and that was rough just because we didn't play well. And
you got shellacked. Like the Giants one was the only real close
37-24.
One. 37-24. Yeah.
Well, the last Cowboys game, the 30-13 game, we were leading at half and just fell apart in the second half. So yeah, I mean, it wasn't close, but still. Yeah, I mean, it's just at least they were different teams. You know, it wasn't losing to the same team over and over again.
That, yeah.
What was it? Giants, Redskins, Cowboys, Cowboys, yep. Right? Yeah. All NFC East teams.
Yeah, exactly. Except for the Eagles, right.
How do you honestly feel about the Chiefs?
Oh, I mean, I think they're a great
football. It's a sports hate, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Right. Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, you know, we were talking about the similarities between the cities, the similarities between the teams. There's no villain on the Chiefs. There's no bad guy. You know, there was. He's in Miami now.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
You know, so who do you hate? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't hate somebody just because they're talented and good at what they do.
The same thing with Buffalo, though. There's nobody hateable on that team. Like, you don't hate Josh, yep. But you just, you don't want to face him, you know? Like, but he's like Mahomes. Sean McDermott doesn't really have a hate factor to him or anything.
Like, I didn't hate Peyton Manning, but every time the Colts came to town, I was like, son of a gun.
I was sitting at Johnny's Tavern yesterday wearing my Andre Reed jersey, and a guy wearing a Chiefs jersey came up, sat next to me, and we were talking, and he said, you know, and this is before the game, obviously, and he was like, I love the Chiefs. I've been a Chiefs fan since I was a kid, but, you know, if we have to lose to somebody, I wouldn't mind losing to you guys. And I was like, I feel the same way. I mean, I mind losing.
Right.
You're like, I'm used to it.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. There comes a time when it's just like, oh, really? You hit me again? Great. Okay, sure. Knock yourself out.
No, you're right about that. Like, you don't want to lose to Joe Burrow. You don't want to lose to whoever. You know, there are teams out there you just don't want to lose to. You lose to Buffalo, you lose to Kansas City, you're just like, all right, we lost to a really good team that's not hated. Like, they're not cheating. They're doing it the right way. Both work organizations are doing it the right way. The part that I think really has to sting, though, for a Bills fan is like the two guys you gave Kansas City, Mahomes and Worthy, were two pretty big pieces as to why you lost that game yesterday, right?
Absolutely, yeah. But, I mean, to that end, how do you think Detroit's feeling right now?
Yeah.
Not only do they lose to Washington, then Washington goes on and gets stomped by Philadelphia. So, I mean, Detroit was the team that was supposed to just breeze through the NFC, and not so much.
And that's where the Super Bowl matchup comes in, because I know, obviously, people are rooting against the Chiefs, but it's not like you're rooting for America's darling in Detroit now.
Yeah.
Or even Washington at this point in time, which I think a lot of people would have been behind, because it's a new team on the scene and whatnot. Nobody likes Philadelphia outside of Philadelphia.
Right. Yeah, that was the map, the meme that was going around on Facebook this morning was, you know, Kansas City roots for Kansas City, Philadelphia roots for Philadelphia. The rest of the country is just gray.
Is that what it was? I missed that. Because that's the way it's going to be. Like, there's no rooting interest, if you will, for the casual American sports fan. Yeah, because you
Roger Goodell's got to be kicking the dirt a little bit right now going, really?
Yeah, and we got this. And you know what? They'll set records and people will watch because history's on the line. We're getting ready to watch something that's never been done before. And that's a quarterback and a team going to three straight Super Bowls.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Kendrick Lamar at halftime.
Is that who halftime is?
Yeah. You won't see me. Like, I'll be somehow sneaking down there.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, how do you feel about Saquon Barkley? Yeah, I mean, given what James Cook did yesterday?
Yeah. No, I'm not excited about it. Yeah. You know,
first he thinks Saquon Barkley's going to run for 200 against the Chiefs.
Yeah, he may. Who knows?
He didn't say 200, but he's going to have a day.
He may have a day. You know, he's had days against everybody this year.
True,
he's playing with a vengeance. There's no question.
He's also had games this year where he didn't show up, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's going to be the story.
I hope they abandon him like you guys abandoned Cook last night.
Oh, I know.
And I'm fine with it.
That's, again, I mean, you can sit there and complain about the fourth down, and I'm sure people will, but I'd be complaining about my head coach first losing my running back again. Like 13 carries for a guy that was averaging 6.5 yards a clip.
Yep.
How that's really, really, really bad.
And like Barkley, Cook breaks them every so often, but you got to keep giving him the ball to have him do it.
Yeah.
So what do you guys have to do next year? What's the look before we get you out of here? What's Buffalo got to do? Move to the NFC?
Yeah. Pick up a good safety through free agency or through the draft. More beef on the defensive line and start running the football more. Start trusting it.
Yep. So. Well, John, we appreciate it. Have a good day.
You got it.
Enjoy 2:30 today in the garage.
Enjoy your sage, my man.
For sure.
No doubt about it. John Grayson, 98.1. Thank you. We appreciate the time. He's on 10 to 2 over there as well.
I mean, I just, you know, wanted to get his inside of it because, I mean, that's, I think he's about as true as they come from Buffalo people. And the text line will say, quit bitching and quit crying. It's like, you have not gone through that. Like, I know we had our times in Kansas City, right? We know that.
Nobody's had this.
That's tough, dude. Like, I'm just going to be, I'm going to be real. That's tough. And, you know, you don't have to rub it in their face. But, like, again, I do agree with John Gruden when it comes to the Bills, because that's what they will take. That's, and I wanted to get that right out of the chute because he can, I mean, Bob, I'm not kidding you. He came in here and the, I mean, Mac too, the first thing he said, he says, I am just sick and tired of this BS. It's always a call. It's always this. And I go full Bob Fesco. I go, well, there was 13 minutes left still. He goes, I don't care. It's a first down. And then here's Alex over here poking the bear going, Whoa, one ref said it wasn't a first down. He goes, well, the other ref said it was a first down. The guy in the booth, he goes, oh, you're going to trust Gene Stessitore?
Yeah.
And then you could also send this.
Like the guys in the booth have an opinion just like everybody else. Just because they're on TV doesn't mean their opinion is correct.
Yeah, well, that's like your opinion, man.
Hey, listen, I thought this was the year for the Bills. Yep. But when you can't make the 1 yard you need to make, you don't deserve to go to the Super Bowl. You can have all these stats. That's all I saw in the pregame warm-up. 65 touchdowns, this stat, that stat. You don't make the 1 yard you need in any critical situation, you're going to get knocked out of the playoffs, and you can't rely on some official to give you a spot on the road in a playoff game. You just can't count on the officials. With Josh Allen, this has to be a slam dunk, automatic first down, and you didn't execute. You did not execute. You got the best offensive line in the league from left tackle to right tackle, a 300-pound tackle playing tight end. James Cook hasn't been stopped all night, and Josh Allen has 600 yards rushing and 12 touchdowns, and you can't make this much. The execution, the pad level, the finish, the overall scheming, whatever it is, you lost the game because third and fourth down in that, and you got to live with it. And I don't know how you live with this one. This is tough.
Get better.
I mean, I just that's the best thing you're going to hear all day and for the next 13 days on the national media landscape. That's a former coach looking at this going, enough is enough, man. And again, I don't blame the referees. I'm not a referee blamer. I don't look at John Higgins in basketball or Angel Hernandez in baseball or any of these guys in football and go, we lost the game because of that.
Well, that one guy did lose a perfect game because of an umpire.
Well, but one instance, yeah. Right? One instance in the course of time, right?
I'm just setting you up for when you get back.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, okay, fine. Well, Jim Joyce, one guy, right? But over the course of a game, again, you can say what you want about the referees and this and that and the other thing. Mm. 3:33 to go, 30-yard line, 3 timeouts, 2-minute warning.
MVP.
Josh Allen has the ball, who is the MVP, going against this Chiefs defense. This is nut cutting time. This is legacy time. What are you going to do? Fail. That's not the referees. That's not the crowd. That's nothing. There's nothing you can blame other than you. Mahomes, down 3 in that situation, would have scored a touchdown. Chiefs would have won by 3 because the clock would have expired and they would have had to kick the extra point. Or maybe they do and they win by 4. Josh Allen couldn't make it to field goal range to give his team an opportunity to kick a field goal to tie that game. And again, I'm not taking away the credit from the Chiefs defense because they went out there and made the plays. But if you're going to be considered a great quarterback in this league and you want to be in the same breath as Patrick Mahomes and everybody wants to put you in that same category as Patrick Mahomes, then you got to do Patrick Mahomes things. The problem is only Patrick Mahomes can do Patrick Mahomes things and nobody else can. So enough with the officials and all of this stuff. The opportunity was there multiple times for Buffalo and multiple times they were stopped by the Chiefs and didn't get the job done.
It's one of those games you got to play damn near perfect. And the Chiefs had a turnover. They had the fumble. But that was it. Mahomes still has not thrown an interception since week 11. The last time they played Buffalo in the regular season. Still has yet to throw an interception. Didn't throw one against Houston, I don't believe. Didn't throw one against Buffalo last night. Didn't throw one against Pittsburgh. Didn't throw one against Houston in the regular season. Cleveland, Chargers, Vegas, Carolina. And somehow some people had this sort of thing to say.
The Chiefs are not going to win 14 straight Super Bowls for the next 14 straight years.
Win 3.
But
not with that attitude, they're not.
They could, right? So I guess it's more that I feel that maybe this is just the time, and it feels like Josh's time to win.
It's not.
It's not. If it was his time to win, he would have led his team to victory. I hate to be that guy that's harsh on Josh Allen because I know he's hurt today and he needs a little patting on his head. But man, if you're gonna be the MVP and you want to be in this category and you want to be one of the greats, then you got to show up in big moments, man. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Derek Jeter. All these guys showed up when the moment was the biggest. That's how you become a star.
What, that?
Yeah.
No.
You become a star because you show up when it matters. You show up in the big moments. Nobody remembers anything Bucky Dent did other than hitting a major home run against the Red Sox. People forget everything when you show up when the moment matters most. And when the moment matters most, the only person who shows up at the quarterback position is Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's it. You had chances. Stop with the referees, please. I just don't want to hear it anymore. We're going to go to New Orleans. We're going to win a third straight Super Bowl. And then what are you going to complain about next week?
I will say this. As we wrap up this segment, go to break one last time. There are certain athletes in this world, in this sport, of any sport, whether it's baseball, whether it is golf, whether it is football, that when they do something, they're just simply better. And it's not necessarily because maybe they're more talented. I think if you put Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and their attributes on a video game, there would be a lot of similarities. Accuracy, throwing power, awareness, vision, field vision. But there's one stat that you can't really teach. And that stat is just being the clutch guy. And we've seen this multiple times throughout sports where Jordan hits a shot against the Jazz. Will he push off? No, he's a stone cold killer. Tiger Woods, when he won his last Masters tournament, back-to-back holes, hit a drive down the fairway on the right side, put a ball within putting range and made a birdie. The very next hole, par three, famous hole, hits it on the slope, gets it down there, makes a birdie. Bang, bang. Not everybody can do that. That's the Masters. That's the biggest tournament in golf. He has zero care in the world at that point. The heart rate is down. Patrick Mahomes in that game last night went into it from start until finish and was the best player on the field. Maybe the stats didn't blow you out of the water, but at what point in that game were you looking at Mahomes going, he seems a little off. He seems a little shook. He knew the assignment. I thought Rob Brenton said something very great on Mac and Drew's pregame show. The Chiefs all year played close games, and everybody criticized them. Everyone said they don't blow anybody out.
Nobody blows anybody out in the NFL, though. I mean,
the Philadelphia Eagles did yesterday.
Yeah, well.
And the thing about this is that when you're going up against that person, two things factor in. One, you have to be better than that person on that day. You may never, ever, ever be better than them in your career. And two, you have to realize that it is the magnitude of the game, but you can't let it affect your psyche. Josh Allen was shook on those first two drives, should have thrown two picks, had two picks literally dropped on that first possession. And then the fourth and one, you might say it's a first down. Get more than just a half a yard.
Don't put it into the hands of the referees.
Go give it to Cook. Do something different. But when you play these monsters amongst men, when this sort of time matters the most and the lights are brighter and the moment is tense and everything is on the line, you have to go be David. You have to slay Goliath. You can do it, but it takes almost a perfect opportunity to do it. If the Royals were going to beat the Yankees, they had to play perfect. They didn't.
Yeah,
they lost.
They did. Exactly. Right.
Bobby Witt Jr. didn't show up in the biggest time of the season.
Right.
He was great during the regular season. You know, one of the best players I've ever seen. But when the playoffs happened, that happened.
Legacies are created in the postseason. October, January. That's when legacy, March.
Nobody cares about Tiger Woods' multiple PGA Tour wins. They count the majors.
The majors.
Nobody cares about how many games Jordan won, how many MVPs Jordan won.
Six championships.
They care about the championships. Tom Brady, great regular season quarterback. Better playoff
championships.
Patrick Mahomes, 29 years old, going for a three-peat, has beaten every great quarterback in the AFC from Burrow to Allen to Jackson. Here we stand again, off to New Orleans in the Big Easy because Patrick Mahomes, when the times get tense, he makes it easy.
And in the fourth quarter of games, in overtime or the fourth quarter of games, down 8 or less points, mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes is 40 of 56 for 552 yards, five passing touchdowns, no interceptions, one rushing TD, and they've scored on 13 of the 14 drives. That's the clutch gene. That's what it's about. It's not throwing for 500 yards in October. It's not leading the MVP race in November. It's not making a great play in December. It's about what do you do in the fourth quarter or overtime of NFL playoff games, and nobody's better at Patrick Mahomes. Game's late, game's on the line, Patrick Mahomes is under center, odds are you're not winning.
And to wrap this up, the Bills have Mr. Brightside, the Chiefs have Mr. January. Coming up on the other side, we wrap this show up on a victory Monday where the Chiefs were victorious 32-29 over the Bills in the AFC Championship game. And it's off to New Orleans. You're listening to Fesco, Dusty, and Mac on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Well, Einstein Tech 9. Two stomps and a clap in this B. Best Tech 9 song of all time. Outside of Red Kingdom. How we feeling now, boys? Got through the show? I think we all can agree that we don't need to. We can do our brioche of the weekend, but I think we all know what it is, right?
Yeah.
Mahomes.
I was just saying, is it the same?
It's Mahomes.
Mahomes?
Yep. To go along with Bob's numbers that he came out, was just insane. 13 of 14 drives scoring when down by 1 or 8 in the fourth quarter in OT. That was, to go along with the clutch gene, out of all dropback success rates in all of Mahomes' hundreds of games, that was the highest success rate Mahomes has ever had on a night when he dropped back to pass.
Yeah, they're calling it, and I heard the Buffalo radio station say this, and I was trying to process it at 5 o'clock. Like, I don't know what you're talking about because you're using a lot of acronyms and numbers.
My mind hurts.
It hurts, but also was one of those, like, I don't even know what you're talking about because it's all gibberish to me. But they did say it's now goes down as the greatest passing performance in playoff history.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday is allegedly, according to the nerd numbers, the greatest passing performance in playoff history. And you look at the normal numbers, you're like, well, it looked like a nice game. It didn't look like that didn't look like the greatest game ever. But when you start, I guess, talking about efficiency and all that kind of stuff, I mean, Patrick Mahomes was marvelous, man. He really was. Like, there's just no other way to describe it. And you know, the more I think about Billy Coons calling in and saying Patrick Mahomes is the greatest NFL player of all time, who's going to argue that at this point in time? Man, doing it in this era where there's constant change and everybody gets better and there's the league is faster, the defenses are better than they've ever been, and no matter what somebody throws at him, he finds a way to overcome that. I mean, it's hard to sit here and not say Patrick Mahomes is the greatest NFL player of all time. And, you know, Tom Brady would have a conversation with you. Joe Montana would have probably a conversation with you.
Montana's been passed.
I mean, you know, you're thinking of, like, Lawrence Taylor might want to have a conversation with you. Dick Butkus from back in the day may want, like, there's some guys that would be in that room having a conversation with you of the greatest NFL player of all time. But Patrick Mahomes is standing there on top right now, and you've got to tell me why you're better than Patrick Mahomes. And really the only person that you can put into that conversation of the greatest of all time, not just quarterbacks, the greatest player of all time, is Tom Brady. Those are the only two in this entire 105-year history of the league where we've got two players that can make the case for the greatest player of all time.
I think the reason this one hurts Buffalo a lot is because this was their year. I think they truly believed it.
Well,
right?
See, that's interesting because I was talking to a lot of Buffalo fans over the weekend, and they were telling me they're like, this was supposed to be a rebuild year.
Well, they say that, but
that's fair.
You know, because going into the season, you lost Diggs. It was kind of like last year for the Chiefs. Everybody thought that would kind of be like like take a step back before you took a step forward. And they didn't do that. And they're in the AFC Championship game. And, you know, a lot of the Buffalo fans were like, well, I know Miami was getting a lot of love. Obviously, the Jets, for whatever reason, were getting a lot of love. Like, we lost some guys, they were telling me, and we thought this would be a step back year. And they ended up playing the AFC Championship game.
Well, they have a tough hill to climb because they don't have any cap money. According to SpotTrack, they're negative 2.5 in cap space. They're going to pick 30th overall.
Wow.
And they have free agents named Ty Johnson, Mac Hollins, DeMar Hamlin, Rashall Douglas.
Wow. Wonder who they're paying. I mean, I know they're paying Allen and Dawkins.
That's not a lot of money. Allen is up for an extension. So is James Cook. So is Benford. And so is Shakir.
They need to pay all of those guys.
And they don't have the money to do it. Yeah. And they're picking 30th. I smell a trade.
Well, the interesting thing about all of that is if they believe that Josh Allen is their Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm. then it's fine. Who cares? But not many quarterbacks have been able to do it. But Josh Allen has. Like, getting here to this point, after stripping down their roster like they did last season, like, if I'm Buffalo right now and I'm their general manager, I'm having the same approach that Brett Veach had to this thing. I'm not overpaying guys. I've got, like, some of those passes, Dusty and I were talking in the break, that Josh Allen threw last night were like, oh my God, passes, right?
Oh, I told Mac last night in text that when he threw that pass in the first half of 29 seconds left to Hollins over McDuffie, and I told you in the studio, I was like, I felt punched. I was
We all did. The stadium and everything. Dude. It was.
That was the one thing they couldn't get, and he nailed it.
So if you're the Bills, like, you have your quarterback up until he faces Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. And at the end of the day, I put more of this loss, in my opinion anyway, on Sean McDermott and their offensive coordinator for terrible play calling at the end when it mattered most than I do for Josh Allen. Josh was pretty much flawless on this day. His coaches didn't put him in the best possible position to be successful. Long story short, from a general manager standpoint, I don't have to pay guys big money. I'm not paying $30 million for a wide receiver or anybody like that. Josh Allen makes people better. I mean, they went 13-4 and went toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game in a game that was supposed to be a rebuild. Sounds a lot like what we did last year, right? So you've got the quarterback in Buffalo. You don't need to spend stupid money on weapons. Josh will make those guys better. We saw that. I mean, Mac Collins. I mean, if that guy doesn't walk in with no shoes and a Muppets mask on every week, does anybody even really know who he is, right? Josh Allen has elevated that guy's game, too.
Mac's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they got their quarterback. They may not have the right head coach in place, but they've got their quarterback in place.
Well, that's the thing. They're kind of in this weird spot where they keep getting to the precipice, and it's hard to get rid of a coach who gets you that far. But you're right. You kind of have to make the move. Now, how many times are you going to lose? Is it five times? I mean, honestly.
But the problem is there's nobody there that you're looking at and going, that's the guy that can get you over the hump. Well, the coaching pool is so bad in the NFL.
Well, it wasn't.
Brian Schottenheimer's head coach, and that's no knock against Brian Schottenheimer. Congratulations, Blue Valley. You had two head coaches in the NFL. But, like, that's where we are at this point in time. A 25-year assistant in the NFL is finally getting an opportunity. Great. I hope he does wonderful down there. I do, you know? But that's where we are in the NFL. So, like, Sean McDermott may not be able to get you over that hump, but who's there that will?
Yeah, and the guys that, if there are guys that you think could, you won't have a chance of getting them because by the time you're hiring, they're all gone. Vrabel's hired. Carroll's gone. Ben Johnson's, he's got a job. Like, those are the names. They're all taken.
You know, and Booker McFarland said it really good last night, I think it was, on ESPN. And I do agree with this. He goes, maybe Josh Allen was just born in the wrong generation. You know, like Buck O'Neill had the famous line, I came along right on time, right? I came along right on time. And you look at Josh Allen and you're like, nah, you probably came around at the wrong time.
If
you didn't come along in this Mahomes era, you would probably be the one that's stacking Super Bowl trophies. You would probably be the one that's looked at as one of the greatest of all time. But you've run into a roadblock. Ask Patrick Ewing. Ask Charles Barkley. You know, ask all those guys in the NBA that were big-time stars that weren't able to get over the hump of Michael Jordan. And Hakeem Olajuwon would have been in that same conversation had Jordan not tried to go play for the White Sox. And so Patrick Mahomes, if they want to beat Patrick Mahomes, they better hope he wants to go play for the White Sox. Because if he goes play some baseball, then the league will open back up. But, I mean, this thing is on lockdown right now. And Patrick Mahomes is better at the big moment than anybody I've ever seen. And Michael Jordan was great at the big moment. Tom Brady was great at the big moment. Patrick Mahomes just continues to get better and better and better at the big moment. And I don't see it stopping anytime soon. So for Josh Allen, yeah, you probably were born in the wrong generation. Five years earlier or 5 years later would have been better for you.
Championship game coverage brought to you by the Bud Light. Brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, man. I mean, I just always go back to Tiger Woods when it comes to Patrick Mahomes. Just, there's a clear-cut person that's just better than everybody else, and he strikes fear in people's hearts. And that's just the way it is. I just, when you look at what Patrick Mahomes does, I even like his little turtleneck that he created.
Yeah, I like that too. Yeah.
It's like there's little things about Mahomes, like – that certain athletes have. Like Tiger had the red shirt. Mm-hmm. Jordan had the armband or the calf band, the shoes and the tongue. Mahomes has the headband, and in the playoffs, he's got the turtleneck, right? Like, Brady, I don't know what he had. Great looks, eye black, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'll say this, man. They just keep doing this with this coaching staff and this ownership and this group. I mean, again, there's a reason why. Like, eventually you have to run out of excuses or lame duck takes of, you know, well, they get the calls or they got this. If they're there for the third consecutive year and they've been to seven consecutive AFC championship games, at what point do you stop having those conversations and just be like, well, this is just what they do? Like,
you could stop now having those conversations, right? But it makes the league boring. And so that's why every year, like you know, like a dementia patient, everybody wakes up and goes, I think this is the year Patrick Mahomes isn't going to win. Do you not remember what we've seen?
Last year was Josh Allen's best chance. It was in his house. It was the least talented Chiefs roster they had. And he still couldn't get it done. And then in his MVP season, still couldn't get it done. You still have time to get this done, and that is go do something nice for somebody today. You never know. Could change their day, week, month, or year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind, stay you, stay true. Cody, Gold, and Drew coming up from 10 to 2. 96.5 The Fan.